to know what the Bible says about how to be a real disciple of Jesus Christ. Not just a believer. There's a difference. And I'll show you in a minute. But look at Luke chapter 14 if you have your Bible. And we'll start with verse 25. And Jesus is speaking. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and saith unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king goeth to make war against another sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassadage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever of you be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? I mean, you can't make salt out of old salt, you know. It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, the Lord is preaching here, and he's trying to tell us something, and most people look right over the top of it. They try to find something so deep. And a lot of times people will try to find things in the Scriptures that's not there, and they'll try to squeeze them in there and make something complicated and deep out of it. When I went to Bible college and I went to preaching class, and they do have a preaching class, they call it homiletics. I thought you ate homiletics. Oh, that's hominy, ain't it? But I went to homiletics, and here's the first thing that my, matter of fact, he became a pastor later on, Brother Jimmy, can't remember his last name now. Anyway, he told us, this is what he said. He said, the first thing I want to tell you is kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, stupid. He said, a lot of preachers preach above the heads of their people, trying to impress people and make people think they're so smart in the Bible and all that, that they'll dig up things that ain't even in there. So, look, I'm going to explain this very simple. A disciple is not just a hearer, but a doer of the Word of God. Not just, there's a lot of hearers, but there's not many doers. And here Jesus has got all these thousands of people following him. And by today's standard and explanation and definition, they would tell you that people that follow Jesus are disciples. That's not true. Because later on we find out that they followed him for what they could get. And did he not tell them, you only follow me because I fed you? You only follow me because you saw the dead raised? You only follow me because you saw the deaf get their hearing back? You only follow me because you see people healed. You only follow me to see what I do. And then later on, he said, when I come back, will I find any faith? Will I find anybody that believes? All those people he's talking to. And they all appear to be Christian or followers of Christ. But then he gives a good explanation right here. He says a disciple means a learner. It means a student. If I'm a disciple, if I'm your disciple, Billy used to do radiators. He was the radiator man in Rock Hill, the radiator man. If you ever wanted a radiator fix, you go talk to people, they'd say, go see Billy Boatwright. He can fix any radiator, until they made him out of plastic and he threw them in the trash. But he just gets you another one. He was the radiator man. Now, if I wanted to be a radiator man, I would become a disciple of Billy Boatwright. Amen? Do y'all understand what I'm saying? There's some of you that know how to cook. I can't cook. I burn everything. And like, how do you know? You ain't never seen me. By the way, I've been to his men's breakfast. He's pretty good at burning too. But if I wanted to be a disciple, I know somebody in this church that can cook, and it ain't a woman. Amen. No, it ain't you either. You know who it is? That man in there playing that piano, that man's a cook. He's a cook. Now, he's not just a cook. He's a chef, man. That boy, you take any kind of meat, and that fella can fix it. It don't matter what it is. Now, so if I wanted to be a cook, I would become a disciple of Jeff. I would. Now, there's all of you know things I don't know. I don't know everything. All of you know something I could probably use. But a disciple is a follower of the teachings of somebody. Y'all got me? You still with me? Is that too complicated? So, all these people are following Jesus, but they are not all His disciples. Our churches are full of people. Churches, if you go out on Sunday morning to go anywhere, you'll probably get run over by one of three people. And old people going to get free coffee at Hardee's. A redneck headed to Walmart. Or somebody going to church. You probably get killed more likely by somebody going to church on Sunday. And our world doesn't change. It doesn't get better. And boy, we look at that and we say, look at that church over there. They got 2,000 in it. They got 3,000 in it. This ought to be the best church, the best town in South Carolina. If all of these people are disciples of Jesus Christ, why are we in such a mess? Amen.
Come on, man.
Help me here. So, Jesus is telling about how to be a disciple. Now, salvation's free. Salvation don't cost you anything. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, now shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, if you'll believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth, you'll be saved. You can be saved by simply turning to Jesus Christ from your sin and asking Him for forgiveness and asking Him to give you eternal life. And you'll be saved. That's very simple. But being a disciple means a little bit more than that. As a matter of fact, it means a whole lot more than that. Is you cold? Anybody cold? I'm looking at you. Some of you look hot. Some of you look cold. Now, some are followers, but they're not disciples.
Come on now.
Yep. You wouldn't believe. I've been preaching since 1981. I've been ordained since 1983. You wouldn't believe how many people I've seen fall on altars and claim to become disciples. And it turned out they had a problem. And they wanted God to deliver them from their situation. And when the situation was over, the fellowship was over too.
Come on, man. Yeah.
They didn't become a follower for what they could do for Him. They became a follower for what He could do for them. And listen, that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about, and I'm telling you what. I think we need to ban all microphones. Amen. Now listen. Salvation's free. Discipleship costs. Look at verse 26, 27 real quick in Luke 14. Verse 26 and 27. If any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Did you know, I got looking at that, and I thought a disciple must worship at any cost.
Amen.
A disciple of Jesus Christ will worship the Lord Jesus Christ, and worship involves fellowship. And a disciple, a real disciple, will follow and worship the Lord Jesus Christ at any cost. Any cost. And that's what he's saying here. And he said, take up his cross. Take up his cross. He didn't say take up Jesus' cross. That one's been taken up. Take up your cross. That involves crucifixion.
Yes.
You know what that means? Dying to yourself. Nailing yourself on the cross.
Amen.
And saying, I don't have to have my way. I want His way.
Amen.
I don't have to have anything. I just want Him. He's the most important thing to me in the universe. I love my wife, but He's more important. I love my children, but He's more important. I love my mama, my daddy, but He's more important. I love my grandkids. I love my own life, but I love Him more than I love all those things. That's what He's saying. He didn't say go up to your mom and dad and say I hate you. He was saying compared to loving Him, it'll probably look like to a lost world that you hate them. When my kids were little and we were raising, we stayed busy in the church. We were either on a bus with a busload of kids or in children's church or camp or Awana. We were somewhere busy for the Lord all the time. And every once in a while, some pious hypocrite of a disciple would come up to me and say, "Brother Ron, aren't you afraid you're going to ruin your children?" I said, "What? Aren't you afraid you're going to ruin your children? You don't ever let them do anything. They're always busy in church work. They don't get to run around with other kids. They don't get to do what other kids do. They don't get to go places other kids get to go. And aren't you afraid you're going to, by denying them, exposing them to the world, that when they get older, they're going to jump out in there to the world to find out what's wrong with it?" I said, "No, sir. They see what's wrong with the world because they're so busy serving others. They see how the world's destroying them, and they ain't going to want what the world's got." Some of you have this mistaken idea that denying your children and your grandchildren of worldly lust and worldly things and not letting them get out there in the world, you think when they get older they're going to go wild. I got news for you. You get them busy serving the Lord and they'll see what the world gives to other people that's living in a mess that they're serving, and they won't want any of it. I don't know, one of my daughters said one time, they said, "I never wanted to drink because on the church bus we saw kids and we saw what drinking did to their families. I never did want to do drugs because on the church bus I saw what it did to kids and their families, and I didn't want to do that." Amen? I didn't want to bust up a marriage. I didn't want to go out there and live a sinful lifestyle. And look, to be a real disciple of Jesus Christ is more than walking an aisle, filling out a card, getting voted into church, or even baptized. A real disciple of Jesus Christ crucifies himself and says, "Rick no longer counts. It's all about Jesus. All about Jesus. Ron Ronnie died March the 5th, 1978. Come on, help me. But being a disciple is more than going to church. You ought to go to church. You're not a good Christian if you don't go to church. I said that. Yes, I did. Amen. That's why he called me to preach and not some of you, because you wouldn't say that. Listen, I think you ought to go to church every time the door's open. I'm like that old mountain boy said, I think they call a meeting on the front porch to spit off the porch, I ought to be there. Amen. 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 Billy knows what I'm talking about. You'll go, hey, you think taking your children, your grandchildren to church Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revivals and all that, that you're denying them of something that's going to make them bitter and bad? No, sir. You're giving them something that other people will not crucify themselves so they can discipline their own lives and take their own children, their own grandchildren, and give them something that other kids don't have. A hope of eternal life. A true disciple crucifies himself. It's not about us anymore. It's about him and them. And Jesus said that comes before personal relationships. He comes before your father. He comes before your mother. He comes before your son. He comes before your daughter. He comes before your brother. He comes before your sister. He comes before your spouse. He wants you to take them off the throne and put him on the throne.
Amen.
You know what's destroying most homes nowadays? Liquor's bad, drugs is bad, fornication, all that stuff. But what's really destroying homes today is people are setting their families, their husband, their wife, their children, their mother, their father up on a throne somewhere, and they're giving them first place, and Jesus is way down here on the list somewhere.
Yeah, come on.
Well, I'll go to church if my husband will. You won't never go to church. Well, I'll serve the Lord if I can get my kids to. You won't ever serve the Lord like that. You say, look, all that's all right. I love them, but he's first, and I don't have to have my way. I'm going to have him, and if they don't like that,
right.
tough cookie. Amen. That's in the original Greek, by the way, tough cookie. Now, look, Jesus must come before our personal reputation. See, some of you are afraid people's going to call you a Christian.
Yeah, come on, man.
Well, you one of them Bible thumpers. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Guilty.
Amen.
Bible thumper. Let me show you what that means. Can I hold your Bible? I don't want to lose my place in mine. Bible thumper. Amen, preacher. Preach it, preacher. Glory to God, preacher. Hallelujah. May jump up and start preaching yourself. Amen. Yeah, I'm a Bible thumper. Well, you're one of those fundamental fanatics. Check that one. Yes. Yes. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Yes, I am. Yes, I'm not backing down off of that. This fellow called me one day on the telephone. He said, I'm looking for a church. We're going to get some new equipment here. It'll go with that new building y'all paying for when you get right with God and crucify yourself. But the fellow called me. He said, I'm looking for a church. And I've called so-and-so, and they tell, and I give them what I'm looking for in the church, and they always say, well, you wouldn't be comfortable here. He said, so I called this Rock Hill Church. That's the name of it over here on Mount Gallon, I think. Rock Hill Church. And he said, I told that pastor, and he said, well, what kind of church are you looking for? He said, well, I'm looking for a church that still believes the Bible to be the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, and they only use the King James Version in English. Amen. Yeah. He said, I'm looking for a Bible that still preaches sin is wrong, and that you'll live right and act right and look right and dress right and behave right, and I believe that we're supposed to witness to people and we ought to be separate from the world. And I'm glad the pastor was at least honest. Here's what he said. He said, I'm sorry, sir, you wouldn't be happy at my church, Southern Baptist Church. He said, I'm sorry you wouldn't be happy at my church. He said, you need to go find Ron Roddy. Amen. Yes. I'm a long way from perfect, but I went down his list. Amen. A fellow called me one day and said, listen, we're doing an article on the King James Bible 400th anniversary. And I've called all over this town, and I can't get preachers to talk about it. And a lot of them say they don't believe that, and it's no good. And said, but the ones that do believe something like that, every one of them said, you need to get in touch with Ron Roddy. He believes King James Bible. Amen. I didn't know I had that reputation, but I'll take it. I'll take it. I've done a lot of crucifying to get that reputation. I have. I've done a lot of killing me to get that reputation. A disciple crucifies himself. Can I get amen? We don't have no future plans. A cross is something you take up willingly, and you ain't going back. I'm not going back. Where are we going to go? You going back to the biker bar? You're going back to the bottle. You're going back to the can. You're going back to the joint. Medical marijuana. There ain't no such thing. Every pothead in town wishes they'd open up a medical marijuana store. They all got bad backs. Amen. Go ahead. You say, preacher, I don't like that. Crucify yourself. Amen. A lot of people are so busy crucifying the preacher, they ain't got time to crucify themselves. Amen. Preach it, brother. Number two, look at verse 28 and 29. It's 10 minutes till. Hang on. You got 45 more minutes. Verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower sits not down first and count the cost whether he have sufficient to finish it? Now, people talk about building a church. Yeah, but we're not. We ain't got it. We don't have the money to build it. We will when you give the money. Amen. But he says you got to sit down and count it. You got to look. Lest happily after he had laid the foundation is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. You know what he's saying? Disciples must work at any cost. Building costs something. To build a Christian life costs something. To be a disciple of Christ will cost you something. Now, he's not saying count the cost of being saved. He's saying count the cost of being a disciple. Amen. That's going to cost you. And people say, well, preacher, you know, I got the faith. I say, well, you know, James says faith without works is dead.
Amen.
And you know, the devils believe according to James and they tremble, and you ain't even got enough sense to be afraid. Amen.
Come on.
Hey, look, if we're going to be real disciples of Christ, we've got to realize that we've got to work at any cost. What does it cost? If you're about to build a tower, you got to measure it up. And if you look to Jesus to supply the needs and let Him finish it, it would be finished better than you trying to do it. But if you're going to build a Christian life, you've got to count the cost. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you're going to lose friends. Yeah, yeah. Some of you need to lose some friends. Yeah, yeah. Those that call you, they, especially those church friends, that call, they talk more on the telephone than they do at church. You're to lose that friend. Amen. Gossip, backbite. I don't know that we got any, but if we got any, I want to scare them. Listen, I'm telling you, you're going to lose friends. I'm going to tell you something else you're going to lose. You're going to lose family.
Amen.
They're not going to agree with you. And they're going to tell you you're crazy. And they're going to tell you that you're denying your family of some wonderful things of this world.
Right.
And then on down the road, when theirs is in a mess, they're going to call you and ask you the secret of your family.
Right.
I had one tell me one time. I said, I was trying. It was a brother-in-law. He said, I wish my kids was like yours. Well, 20 years before, he was saying, Ron's denying his children of everything. It's fun. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you friends. It's going to cost you families. It may cost you jobs. You wouldn't even work the list I've had. You're going to get fired. You're going to get picked over for the raises and promotions and all that stuff. But you know what? All of that's temporary.
Amen.
Every bit of it. And listen, we've got too many half-built towers.
Come on, yeah.
He said, how many men go to build a tower and don't sit down and add up the cost first? Well, I got to go to Home Depot and I got to, not Home Depot. Where's Home Depot lady at? She ain't here today. No, that's Office Depot. Well, I got to go to Lowe's and I got to go here. I got to go there and I got to buy this and I got to buy that. Uh-oh, ain't got enough money. Now, people don't build that way, do they? And see, a lot of so-called disciples, they'll start building a Christian life and they'll make a profession of faith. They'll get baptized. They'll join the church. And then when things start happening, they start losing stuff and start losing friends and losing their reputation and all this stuff. They never counted on that. You know, when I got saved, I thought everybody would be happy that I was saved. Did you know they wasn't?
Amen.
Shocker, ain't it? Well, I thought, I'm going to go down there, Brother Billy, and I'm going to tell that old crowd I run around with, boy, and they ain't never heard this, and I'm going to tell them, and they all going to jump up and be so happy they're going to get saved too. I lost every friend I had but one.
Thank you, Lord.
But the good thing is, when they all walked out, Jesus walked in.
Yes.
I'll be honest with you, I didn't count the cost. I thought, boy, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it. And I jumped in and they jumped out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you something else too. A lot of church members didn't like me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Thought I was ignorant. Maybe I am, but I'm happy. Amen. I don't know. But let me tell you something. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of Christian lives that don't match the biblical teachings of a disciple. Oh, they start out good, but somewhere along the line, they stop building. They stop building. I got a sermon I preached on used-to-be's and has-beens. Well, I used to teach Sunday school. Well, I used to be a preacher. Well, I used to sing in the choir. Well, I have been a good Christian, and I have been this, and I have been that, but they stop. Because the cost became more than they wanted to pay.
Yeah.
Look at verse 31 through 33. I'm almost through. Or what king going to make war against another king says not down first and consulteth whether he be able 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000, or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassadage. He sends somebody to talk to him and desire conditions of peace. Now, you know what? If we're going to be a disciple, we're going to have to go to war at any cost. You know what war means? Conflict. I hate conflict. How many of y'all love a good fight? How many of y'all love a good fight? No. I don't want fuss. I don't want fight. I hate it. Don't you hate it? You hate it? Now, I've known some people love to fight. Yeah, till you got your sense beat into you by the Lord. Amen. 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 But you know what? There's some people looking for a fight. If they can't find one, they'll start one. But you know, as a disciple of Christ, we don't want to fight no more. He's given us a heart of peace and love and goodness. And now when we run into conflict, we want to just stop or run away. But I've got news for you. We're in a war. And it's us against them. Amen. And I'm part of us. I'm not part of them.
Amen.
And I've got news for you. Them don't like us. And they hate us. And they talk about us. And they work behind our backs. And them will destroy us and our faith if we allow them to. We must fight.
Amen. Yeah.
Sometimes you need to stand up to your young and say, no, you're not doing that. And I say, shutteth thine mouth. Or I'll whip us thine behind us. Y'all didn't know King James said all that, did you? You come here, you learn things. Amen. Sometimes some of you ladies need to look at that backslider lost husband and say, no, we're not doing that. You might do that, but we're not doing that. You say the Bible says that the wives obey the husband in the Lord. A woman told me one time, she said, I can't come to church on Sunday night because my husband won't come and he don't like me to come and he tells me not to come. Is it wrong? I said, yeah, it's wrong. You'll be at church. But the Bible says I'm to obey my husband. I says, in the Lord. He ain't in the Lord. What he's telling you is not of the Lord. It's not even good for you. You need to look at him and say, no, you need to go to church with me.
Amen.
You know, and I've said this, y'all know it. My kids growing up, thank God for a good wife. We never had fusses over going to church. It was part of our life. It's just what we did. You know, we didn't sit down on Saturday night and say, well, let's see if we're going to have time to go to church Sunday morning. Let's see if we're going to Sunday school. Matter of fact, they rode on an old bus most of that time. And that one was car sick every Sunday. And so was that one. And I'd leave the house about 7:30, run around, pick up some, then pick them up about 8:30 in between here and York, 17 miles. We picked up a bunch more and never heard a complaint.
Amen.
It wasn't discussed. It was just understood. This is what we are. This is what we do. You say, well, my kids wouldn't like that. If you do it to them long enough, they will. Like this old fellow said one time, he said, what do you feed your hunting dog? He said, I feed mine collard greens. He said, my dogs never would eat collard greens. He said, mine wouldn't either for about 2 weeks. You just drag them in. They'll eventually get used to it. Amen? Well, my children, they have to sleep on Sunday night. Mine, you sleep right there on Sunday night sitting in the pew. Or lay down in a pew. Amen. Y'all still with me? Amen. You still want to be a disciple? You got to count the cost. It's going to cost you things, but I've got news for you. The reward is much greater than the cost. Amen. I got to hurry. God desires disciples who are not cowards. We must go on without fearing the cost. We shouldn't fear the loss of our family. We shouldn't fear the loss of our spouse or our children or our grandchildren. We shouldn't fear the loss of a job. A soldier goes into battle, he leaves every bit of that behind and expects somebody else to take care of it. We leave every bit of that for God to take care of it. Yeah. We're just going to do it. Well, somebody said that ain't going to work. Well, we'll see, because God said do it. And if he said do it, then he's going to have to take care of it. And if my kids go to hell, they're going to go to hell with me trusting God. Amen. If my husband or my wife goes to hell, they're going to have to go to hell with me trusting God. And I'll fight the devil and the world and the flesh every inch of every mile on the way. Amen.
Amen.
Trouble is, a lot of people, when it get a little bit hard, they quit. And then your kids look at you and say, I knew there wasn't nothing to it. Or they'd still be going. And then you try to get your grandkids to go because you lost your kids. And then your grandkids say, well, it didn't work for mom and dad. It ain't going to work for me either. There ain't no need for me to try that. There's no substitute for the victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And having that experience of victory that you'll get by counting the cost and getting in the battle. Boy, when they get saved, you'll be the happiest one in town. I got to go on. Listen, I'm going to tell you something else too. There's nobody in neutral. There's only two armies in this battle. Ours and theirs. Matthew 12:30, Jesus said, if you're not with me, you're against me. And everyone that gathers not for me is scattering abroad. We're either for him or we're against him. We're either gathering people to him or we're pushing them away from him. There's only two crowds, lost and saved. There's no in-between. There's no neutral. And I have people tell me, they'll say, well, I'm kind of neutral on this Jesus thing. I said, no, you're not. You just declared what side you're on because you won't believe on him. Therefore, you're an enemy of the cross of Christ.
Amen.
I'm afraid a lot of church members become enemies of the cross of Christ by trying to be neutral. Well, I don't want to make my kids go to church when they're little because my mama did that to me and it made me hate church. You lying hypocrite. You hate church because you ain't right with God.
Amen.
It ain't your mama's fault. It's not your daddy's fault. And by the way, tomorrow's Monday. Where are they going tomorrow?
Yeah, come on, man.
They're going to school. And some of them, you're going to have to drag them out of bed like they probably did you. Get out of that bed. I don't want to go to school. I'm sick. Are you throwing up blood? No. Let's go. Aren't you afraid you're going to make them hate school? Aren't you afraid they're going to get a bad experience and not want to go? Some of them even go out the door like this. Get on that bus, boy. You ain't going to be stupid when you grow up. Get on that bus. Some of y'all looking at me like you ain't never heard nothing like that. It's the truth. It's the truth. There's no neutrality. We're either for him or against him. And you cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ and be neutral about anything of the things of God. I got to hurry. God wants disciples. Now listen to this. He wants disciples who are not cautious. He says in verse 33, so likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Just give it up. Don't worry about it. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to make the plans. Just say, I have decided to follow Jesus. If y'all want to go, come on. Amen. Don't try to tiptoe around it and be cautious. And, well, you know, we got a good youth minister down there at our church, and he likes kids, and kids like him. Your kid don't need a youth ministry; he needs a preacher.
Amen.
Old-fashioned, leather lung, loud screaming, hollering, get up in your face,
Amen.
Shut up and sit down, get right with God, get saved, preacher.
Amen.
I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you need to come to church. What are you laughing about? Let me over there. You need to come to church and let us love you. We have a lady minister at our church, and she'll just, ooh, she's so sweet. We play football at our church. Thank you, sis. You need to quit worrying about that stuff. God, give me a church. I'm going to church. My kids are going to like it or lump it. But they'll thank me one day that I didn't give up and I didn't compromise and I didn't back up and I kept going when they didn't want to. That same kid will stand up and testify in his church or her church one day and say, I just want to thank God for mama or daddy that one of them wouldn't go to church, but the other one would. And one of them wouldn't live right, but the other one would. And they didn't care if I cried or whimpered. They made me go to church and whipped me if I wouldn't go and then made me want to go to church. I'd rather sit on a pew than get whipping. Amen. Listen, we don't need to be cautious. Jesus needs the preeminence. You know what that means? He says he wants to be preeminent. That means first place. Before everything else. He's before your spouse. He's before your children. He's before your mom and daddy. He's before your friends and your family. He's before your job. Boy, I could preach on that one a long time. He's before your new boat. He's before your new car. He's before your new house. He's preeminent. He's everything. And he will not settle for less. He's either Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Here's what a lot of disciples do. They claim to be disciples, but they don't ever act like disciples till they get put in the hospital. Or they run out of money. Or somebody's breaking up a family or something. Then all of a sudden they get so much religion you don't even want to be around them. They're not disciples. They should have got right with God when things was good. Amen?
Amen.
And then last, look at verse 34 and 35. Salt's good. Would you say amen? Salt's good.
Amen.
I don't care what the doctor says. Salt's good. Amen. But if salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? If it don't taste, if you leave salt out, it'll lose its taste. It'll lose its goodness. It's no good, he said, except to throw it out. Now, I got to think about that word salt. Salt preserves. You take salt. How many of y'all ever eat country ham?
Yeah.
Woo! Glory to God. Country ham. Look, it's just covered with salt. There's no preservatives in it. Salt is the preservative. There's no sodium modio glutamate or whatever it else. It's just salt. And boy, it's good. Amen? Amen. I'm getting hungry thinking about it right now. I'm going to go to Cracker Barrel and get me a country ham lunch. Look, salt preserves the saint. The faith in Christ preserves us. We don't do that. He does that. Because we put it all on him. Salt flavors. It makes us sweet. It makes us what we are. It makes us acceptable to him, not them. Salt heals. Salt heals. And we're supposed to be healers in this old sick world. Amen? Salt burns. Salt burns. You ever put salt on a sword? Amen. You got religion then, didn't you? Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's Baptist cussing. Salt, hey, salt burns. The word of God's quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And it'll divide under soul and spirit, and it'll even go to the joints and marrow. It'll make you feel sick, but then it'll turn right around and heal you if you'll accept it. Amen? It burns, but it heals. And then, I'm talking about disciples. We're the salt. Do you understand that? Everybody ain't going to like you. You're going to rub people the wrong way. Do you understand that? And then salt penetrates. It gets into the heart of lost people. We do. If you're really a disciple, when you walk into a room of lost people at work, does it look like somebody turned on the light in a dark room and all the cockroaches spread out? Is that not what it looks like? You walked in, they said, oh. If you're a disciple, it will. It will. Because, look, salt sometimes just, it penetrates and it burns, but it heals. Now, he said, if you're a disciple, you're supposed to be like salt. You know what that means? That we're supposed to be witnesses. And others, even if it rubs them wrong, they'll see Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Now, my question today would be, if you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you really love Him, are you a real disciple? 1 John 1:7 says, as we walk in the light, as He's in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That means, if I'm living in this is the light of the world, this is the light, and if I'm walking in it, as long as I'm walking in it and believing it and trying to practice it, the blood of Jesus is taking care of everything else. That makes me a disciple. Some of you teenagers are more worried about what your friends think about you than what God thinks about you. They're going to be gone pretty soon. I mean, some of you wives and husbands, you worry about more what your spouse thinks about you than what God thinks about you. I'd be careful about that. Some of you worry about what your kids think about you more than you think what Christ thinks about you. I'd be real careful with that if I was you. You're supposed to die that day you got saved and resurrected a new Christ. You're supposed to be nailed to a cross that day. And now you're supposed to be walking in newness of life. Why? So that God will give you a new Cadillac like Joel Osteen said? We're supposed to be walking in the light. He's in the light that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. But not only that, God gets the glory. God looks and people look at us and say, man, I don't know how they did that. It must be God. If you're not saved today, you think I'm crazy. I know you do. I used to think the same thing about people like me. But you know what? God put you in here today so He could teach you what a real disciple was. And you know, He loved you so much, He died for you so you could be saved. He didn't have no sin. He died for your sins. He rose from the dead to prove it was accepted by the Father. And now He sits on the right hand of the Father interceding for you. And right now He's praying for you, Father, save that one. Father, save that one. Holy Ghost, deal with that one. Holy Ghost, deal with that one. And right now He's convicting you of your sins. And you want to be saved because of what He has said, not what I said. But you felt His power and you felt His presence. You know it's the truth. As soon as I give the invitation, this preacher's going to stand down here. You need to run down this aisle like I did March 5th, 1978 and say, that's what I want. And then there's some disciples in here. You're about halfway in, half out. You need to come down here and get all the way back in. Let's stand. Father, thank You. There's some good people here today.